Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Romans chapter 8, verse 34, tells us that right now Christ is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Intercession is an interesting word. Of course, the common definition is prayer. But the kind of prayer that Christ is offering on behalf of us is not just common prayer. The incense altar in the tabernacle in Exodus typifies this specific and most meaningful prayer. Today, we'll see that Christ is waiting for us to join him at the real altar of incense. This is Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Francis Ball has joined us again today. Welcome back to our program, Francis. Always good to have you here.
It's always good to be here.
Francis, as we've mentioned, we're back at the incense altar that's really located in the center of the tabernacle. It's been a couple of months since we went through the physical layout of the tabernacle and looked at all the furnishings. So I wonder if you'd review this picture for us to refresh those who've been following along and also to bring all of our new listeners kind of up to date where we're going to be today.
Well, I think it's very important, Chris, that we realize that there are no wasted words in the Bible. And any kind of picture that's drawn for us has a very strong significance. If it's in the Old Testament, it relates to something in the New Testament. And if it's in the New Testament, it's explaining something in the Old Testament. So the tabernacle is one of those marvelous and such a deep meaning that we really need to have it in our clear view when we get into these messages that deal with the furnishings as we have in the past. And with the tabernacle, you have an outer court which is enclosed with like a cloth wall around the whole area. And at the entrance of that is an altar, which is called the bronze altar. And that has a lot of significances we won't dwell on because we want to just see the whole picture. Then you come into that outer court where the bronze altar is, and then you will go farther in and come to a laver of water. And then you get into the building proper itself, which is divided into 2 parts. The first part you come into, on the right side as you go in, there is a table of his presence. And then when you turn left, there's the lampstand, which is giving light, the only light that's in the tabernacle. And then you go from there straight toward the next opening, and you come to the incense altar. When we get into the holiest of all, we see in there an ark. And that's the first item that's revealed in the Bible concerning all these furnishings. And in the center of that whole setup is the incense altar. And all of these are very real pictures of Christ and also in many ways of the church. So when we see this, we have a picture or we have a map by which we can experience Christ in a daily way as all the offerings and as the very presence of God himself in the holiest of all.
We began our look at the tabernacle a couple of months ago now, and it's been a while. Since then, we've gone on and looked at some of the other aspects that are brought out in Exodus regarding the priest and the garment that the priest wore, and then quite a bit of detail on the offerings recently. Now we're coming back, and we have a few weeks yet to go in the life study of Exodus. We're going to see, I think, a kind of merging of many of these things that we have been touching in detail. As the significance of these items that you've mentioned and these other things all get sort of brought together. And that's where we're at today. But today, we're going to go on and back to this one unique piece of furniture in the physical center of the whole structure as you look down on it. And that's the altar of incense in the holy place. Let's go to Witness Lee.
The entire Bible shows you, firstly, the altar, the cross of Christ. Then the laver, the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. Then Christ as the life supply. Then Christ as the light. Then Christ is the ark in the Holy of Holies. And eventually, we all come to the book of Revelation. What is the book of Revelation? This is the book of God's execution. And this execution is all the time carried out by the incense altar. Dear saints, as we are seeking after the Lord, we all need to learn one thing, to pray. We need to have a praying life. The real praying life is always a kind of interceding life, because the real prayer is not to pray for yourself. You always pray for others. Amen. To pray for yourself, that is a prayer, not a kind of intercession. But to pray for others, this is to pray to what? To pray intercession, to intercede for others. So the proper prayer life is a life to pray all the time for others. To pray for the church on this whole earth.
Amen.
To pray for the old one, to pray for the young one, to pray for the abusers. To pray, to pray, to pray, to pray all the time for others, not for yourself. We need such a life. The intercession offered on the incense altar should be increasing all the day. Dear saints, look at this. If you don't have this, there's no center. Without the incense altar, there's no center. Yes, there is the center of God's administration. But the executing center is not us. The executing center is the incense altar.
Well, Francis, the world of Christianity is filled with many, many things, and our own Christian life probably is filled with many wonderful things. But I'd like you to comment on what we just heard. This struck me very much, that if there is no incense altar in our life, we may have a lot of things, but there's no center.
That is very striking, because we would think of these items in the tabernacle by our own reasoning. We wouldn't realize maybe that the very center of the whole operation of God is this incense altar. That incense altar is really the intercessory altar. That's where prayer is. And as he pointed out, nothing happens without the prayer life of a Christian. This altar of incense is really the prayer life, and it has to be the center of all the other things. The table bread doesn't work, the lampstand doesn't work, and even the ark doesn't work, and even the altar at the beginning doesn't work without this incense altar. So it's very important that we know what this intercessory prayer can do.
Francis, in the section just ahead, we're going to look at a correlation that many Bible scholars have made over the years that equates or lines up the tabernacle and these parts of the tabernacle that you described in our introduction with the parts of a human being. And of course, we're not talking about the physical parts here, but the real inward parts of a human being. I wonder if you can describe for us this correlation best you can. Obviously, we don't have TV or a blackboard that they can take a look at, so we're going to rely on your ability to give a description, because without that, it may be a little difficult for them to follow what Witness Lee is going to really bring to our attention in this coming section.
Yes, I remember when Brother Lee was pointing this out, the correlation between the tabernacle here and the way man is made and the parts of man, that he had a picture of this that he could point to. And he said, each place is on the tabernacle indicates where we are
right
in our experience. Of course, the outer court represents and stands for our physical being. And that holy place, which is the beginning, the first two-thirds of the building proper, really is the soul. The mind, the emotion, and the will are involved there. It makes a picture of where we are. And then the holiest of all, that's where the Lord is, and that part is called, in our experience, is the spirit. So we have man with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, he asks us, where are you right now? Are you in the body? If you're upset, you're in the body. You're in the flesh.
Right.
And if you're just reasoning and thinking about a lot of different things, you're just in the mind, that is, in the soul. But if you're really enjoying the Lord, you're in the Spirit, you are in the holiest of all. So these three parts really show a picture of what man is in his three parts, body, soul, and spirit. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians that says this clearly. It says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to be clear in our living, where are we? Are you just in yourself, in your physical being, and that everything is just physical to you? Are you in your soul, just wandering around in your mind? Are you really in God's presence in your spirit?
The first two are easy to identify. I think this third one is the one that's a little more elusive and takes a little more exercise and some light shining from above for us to really identify when we are in the centermost part, the spirit. But yet that is the portion that all Christians have, especially that has been occupied by Christ and where we can come each day, and particularly now as we're touching this matter of intercessory prayer, is very much related to this center part, right, Francis?
Yes, that is certainly right, and it does take revelation and experience.
Let's join Witness Lee once again.
The prayer life is motivation. You have to pray. If you would just pray a little bit, you could see. Oh, the bread table is so precious. The lampstand is so prevailing. And the art is so attractive. You got enlightened. You realize what is the Holy of Holies? What is there in the Holy of Holies? Yet nothing worked. Because just like a machine, you don't have a motor in it. And what is motor? In your entire being, in your body, soul, and spirit. And the motor is the prayer life. The very Christ is not only the bread. It's not only the light. It's not only the ark. He's also the incense altar. He is the motivator. He is the motor. You have to enjoy him as your prayer. You have to let him pray in you, guiding you into prayer, guiding you to enjoy him as your prayer. The incense altar, it is just like a motor turning around all the time. It's a motor. It turns, it turns, it turns. You have all the time to come back to this turning point. You have to pray. To pray. Then when you pray, every part works. When you pray, the altar of the burnt offering works. When you pray, the laver works. When you pray, the shewbread table works. When you pray, the lampstand works. When you pray, the ark works. When you pray, everywhere things are going on. When the motor turns, the entire machine is going. When the motor stops, oh, everywhere stops. Within you, you need such motor. That's the praying call.
Francis, we talked about this point on Friday, but it's surely worth coming back to. Prayer, as we just heard, is the motivation. Actually, the word that Witness Lee used, that Dick Taylor particularly likes, he repeated it several times on Friday, is that prayer is the motor of the Christian life. The Christian life, Francis, without this motor is just about as easy to use as a car without an engine, isn't it?
Exactly. It may look good, may be pretty, well painted, polished, everything fine and beautiful, but without a motor, it's useless. Same with our Christian life. We may have a beautiful appearance, very proper in our conduct, and yet there's no prayer in our life. Without prayer, there's nothing that works. If we don't have a way to pray, then we have to be just useless. Everything God wants to do, he does it with man's prayer. His way, ever since he created man, is to do everything through man, and he needs our prayer of intercession. And not only he needs it, but we need it, and other people need it. If the Lord Jesus didn't pray for us, nothing would happen. We would never believe in him. Right. We would never enjoy his salvation. We would never go on to enjoy him organically in his salvation, and we wouldn't even know the meaning of his death and resurrection. But because he prays for us, and Hebrews 7:25 says he's living always to pray for us. His reason for living in the heavens now is to pray for us, to intercede for us. So we are really benefited by intercessory prayer, and that's the way we benefit others. Nothing will happen. The bread table won't work. The light won't work. Nothing will work without prayer.
You've been talking about how the prayer makes everything work. It's amazing the revelation that is really, I think, unfolding in these life study messages that we are getting into recently regarding the incense altar. It's true on God's side and in our side. It motivates and becomes the engine for God's move, which is really something we're going to touch in this final section. But also, it's what gives vitality and reality to our own Christian experience, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. Because without prayer, we don't experience anything.
Well, when we covered the furnishings of the tabernacle several weeks ago, we saw that everything associated with it was portable. It was all made to move. And of course, when God moved and he had a visible presence for the children of Israel by the pillar of fire and the cloud, when he moved, the tabernacle moved with him. And all of these items were to move as well. So each of these furniture items was constructed with rings on the corners and then poles that were generally made out of acacia wood overlaid with gold. And the poles were inserted through the rings, and it was this way that the children of Israel could carry and move these various items in the tabernacle. Just to refresh everyone quickly, we need this as a little background for this coming portion as well. What did these poles and rings typify?
These poles, of course, as you mentioned, are made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. It really represents the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ. And the rings are made of gold, and they represent Christ. But they represent Christ as the Spirit. It's the Spirit that is important in this moving of Christ's intercession for us. It moves throughout the whole earth. By means of this moving, the Lord himself is in his divine nature and his human nature, or I say his human nature with his divine nature, is the very strength for God's move, the move of him as our intercession. Now, I mentioned a while ago about Christ interceding, but actually, Christ is really interceding for us all the time, and he is the intercession altar. And that altar is carried throughout the earth by those poles and those rings, by the humanity and divinity of Christ as our interceding one. He is carried out that way for the benefit of the whole earth to know Christ in his salvation and in his working within us.
I really like this point, Francis. It's the subject, the topic of this last section of Witness Lee sharing. I'm looking forward to this quite much.
The last two items refer to the Spirit of Christ, that is the life-giving Spirit. On the one hand, this life-giving Spirit is the ring, or the rings. On the other hand, it is the pool. This life-giving Spirit brings the intercession of Christ to everywhere on this earth, just like the radio wave, the rings and the pools. All refer to the life-giving Spirit of Christ. In this life-giving Spirit, there is the element of the human life, Christ's human life. Today, the Spirit is all-inclusive. After his resurrection, he became this life-giving Spirit. On the one hand, he is the Redeemer. On the other hand, he is the life-giving Spirit. On the third hand, he is the Lord in heaven. And as such a Spirit, he includes his humanity and his divinity. Such a Spirit is moving on this earth to bring the effectiveness of the praying Christ to everywhere on this earth. Wherever God's interest goes, and this prayer will follow. Follow by what? By the life-giving Spirit. Amen. This is quite interesting. And this means what? This means when the churches and the saints pray with Christ, the life-giving Spirit will carry out whatever we pray.
Amen.
And He will bring the intercession to every corner of this earth where God's interest goes.
Amen.
Be impressed with this and be stirred up.
Amen.
To seek after such an interceding life.
Amen.
That we would enjoy Christ not only as a bread table, not only as the lampstand, not even only as the ark, but also as the incense altar that becomes a turning spot of your Christian life that motivates every aspect of your Christian life in a passive action. And this kind of prayer will also motivate thousands of people to come to Christ, either to the burnt offering altar, or to the laver, or to the bread table, or to the lampstand, or to the ark in the Holy of Holies. It will motivate a lot of saints to seek after the riches of Christ until their maturity. So we have to pray.
Well, Francis, as I alluded to before, at least to me and I know to you, this is a marvelous point to conclude on today, and that is that the rings and poles signify that the Spirit operates throughout the whole earth to carry out God's move when we join Him praying at that altar of incense. I really think, Francis, any believer hearing this has to be stirred up and want to enter in and have a portion of this kind of prayer experience. What kind of prayer is the Lord desiring to bring His people into?
I'm glad you mentioned this about His praying for us and our joining with Him, because this is really our privilege to be able to join with the Lord in this kind of prayer. And this you have to identify as intercessory prayer. It's the prayer that really gives the Lord a way to move on this earth. It's not a prayer for ourselves. It's not a prayer that we just utter to take care of our own spirituality. But this prayer is a executing prayer, a kind of an execution that will carry out God's purpose. And that's the reason this incense altar is in the place where it is, in the center of the tabernacle, because it's the very center of God's move and what God is imparting into people. He's dispensing what He is by this kind of prayer. We need to be brought into this turning point in our Christian life, that is, to have intercessory prayer, joining with the Lord who's always praying for us, and by that prayer we join in with Him, and He brings these benefits to others and helps everyone to learn how to be motivated to enjoy Him in all that He has shown us with the showbread table, with the lampstand. All these things become realities to us by this prayer. It will motivate a great many saints to seek the riches of Christ until they come to maturity. If we practice this kind of prayer life, we will be interceding with Christ at the incense altar for many, many others to enter into this enjoyment. And it's God's will that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth.
It's marvelous. You touched it in the introduction today. Of course, it was the primary point of our program last Friday that I mentioned with Dick, and that is, without the prayer at this altar of incense, without the intercession of Christ, we would never turn. Why do sometimes we feel so cold and distant from the Lord, and all of a sudden we will be motivated, somewhat out of the blue, to us it seems like out of the blue, we're motivated to turn our heart back, maybe to get on our knees, surely to repent, seek the Lord's forgiveness and enjoy Him anew. What causes that turn to take place, Francis?
He's praying for us.
Amen. I've really enjoyed our fellowship on one of the high points in this life study of Exodus. Thanks for being here. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.